passion, our hearts are yours. We want you, Lord. We want you, Lord. Come and consume that hope we are. Give you the riches our hearts are yours. We want you, Lord. We want you, Lord. Come and consume that hope we are.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, I got to tell you something. Sister Kim Thomas, I want you to come up here and sit in this seat. I'm going to pray for you over the many things that we discussed. But I tell you right now that Jesus is in this room. The healing power of the Lord is upon us right now. And I'm telling you that if you are here and you're in pain, or if you've had a diagnosis of anything whatsoever and you need prayer this morning, I want to pray for you. Now, I got to tell you something. A couple of months ago, I received a phone call, and it was pretty desperate. It was from someone that I worked with, several years ago. And you guys know I haven't worked that particular job for a few years now. And they just reached out and said, hey, my husband has been diagnosed with this brain leakage thing. And they said, we got to go get the test for the big C word, but it's brain leakage. His ears are swollen. He can't even touch his ear. I said, I know there's tissue in there. Yeah, they said there's tissue in there. I said, but that's all it is. And they said, well, you don't know that. I said, yeah, go get your diagnosis, get your test run, and I don't care what it says. I'm telling you that this is what they're going to be. They said, no, he's got to go get surgery in September. I said, praise God. I said, good. I said, that gives us a couple months. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's a couple months for you to realize that there's nothing wrong except for this tissue issue that they're going to have to fix. I said, so surgically, they're going to fix the tissue, but your brain ain't leaking. I said, listen to me. I said, this is just representative of stress. I said, you don't get rid of him early, and he don't get away from you. Hallelujah. I said, so his brain ain't leaking. I said, no man can afford to have his brain leaking when we got women to deal with. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, then you don't get the benefit of getting rid of him early. I said, none of that's going to work. I said, you guys are going to be mingling for a long time. And so I got to tell you something. That is one of the last things I did before I went to Hawaii with Miss Regina, was went down and prayed for these people at the hospital. And guess what happened, buddy? They went in there to do surgery, and they said, all that stuff that was on the thing is cleared up. Your brain ain't leaking. There ain't no big C. All you had was some fatty tissue in there. We took that out. Men and fatty tissue around the brain. You women all believe that that's all of us anyway. Hallelujah. But they said, we took that out and you're going to be good to go. Amen. So the only thing he has is a little pain and recovery. But this is the covenant of the believer with God. He didn't just die for our sins, people. He says, by the stripes I took, you are healed. Not were. Were was the old covenant. You will be healed. But it says you are healed. Amen. So there's challenges that come upon us, Miss Chris Thomas. And we've been here before. Amen. But, huh?
Kim Thomas.
That's what I said. I said Miss Kim Thomas. Boy, hallelujah. Is your name Kim?
It is.
Okay, well, Miss Kim Thomas, hallelujah. We're just going to believe God for these things that you mentioned to me, not just for you, but these other situations, okay? Father God, in the name of Jesus, now God, there's pain, Father, and there's discomfort associated with these situations, Father, but right now, sudden impact injury, all strains, God, anything that's been against her, I come against that right now in the name of Jesus, and I command all of that pain and oppression to come out of her in Jesus' name. And I loose the working of miracles and healing, Father. Touch these regions of her body from her knees up through her stomach and all through her system, Father. Lord, I command healing to come upon her in the name of Jesus. We loose the working of miracles and healing to flow. And I command all pain and discomfort, God, to go. And Lord, even as she goes to her appointments, the doctors are going to be amazed at what they see. And Lord, we put this other situation before you right now, God. And we know that an entire family is at risk, God. Father, when virus and disease comes, Father, it's devastating. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I curse the very root of this. I command all of this sickness to come out, to go, to be gone. Lord, I pray that even tests would be different, God. And Lord, I pray that provision, supernatural provision, grace and strength would be upon this family, Father God. Lord, that you would provide for them, Lord. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Kim, I don't know if this means anything because I don't know what all he's praying for you. But I seen like red inflammation. And like they have those pictures on TV or something where if it hurts, it gets real red. And I saw that in your back. But then I saw this blue cooling thing that Jesus just poured down your butt spine and just poured all the way down because I feel like something in your legs has to do with that. And I just saw him just pour it out on you.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we were praying over something concerning you. And I never said a word, did I? Only the Lord could confirm that quick. Amen. Hey, God bless you. You go and be blessed. Amen. Now, is there anybody else in here who's got sickness going on right now, pain, anything that you need prayer for? Come on, hallelujah. Yes, come on, Miss Vicky. How are you? Oh, my goodness, hallelujah. Were you out there trying to feed him or something?
No, I just had to
wash windows. Oh, my goodness. So you were disobeying your husband and doing your own thing. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Well, And so is it in your hip mostly? Or okay, amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Jesus. Jesus is good. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want you to know that Miss Regina and I did enjoy Hawaii without you guys. Hallelujah. Remember, the whole reason we went on that trip was I wanted to be a confirmation witness to Miss Rita that if you guys ever want to go to Hawaii, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. The food's outstanding. The sights are to live for. Hallelujah. That's what I said. The sights are to live for, not to die for. Hallelujah. We live. But I want you to know it was absolutely beautiful. Beautiful.
You know, also, he said before we left that he was just going to test it out for you all.
Amen.
Just in case you all wanted to go over.
Amen.
There. So he's got a report for you.
Yeah, so I'm reporting to you that it's well worth it. If you get a chance to take the trip, you'll love it. You'll enjoy it. And be blessed in it, okay? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So we've got some announcements we want to make. Intercessory prayer is every Wednesday night here at the church at 5. Come on out and pray with them. This the third Saturday of the month is the men's breakfast. That's October 19th. So men, that's going to be special. Come and talk to Pastor Phil. He said these last two, for October, November, there's not one in December, but come talk to him. He said, don't be afraid.
Men, very critical. I got.
That's what he said.
I got some secret information that you need. Secret information concerning the men's breakfast for both October and November. Remember, we're going to take off December because we're going to give that as family time. But I'm telling you, there's some top secret info I need to deliver to you. So come and we'll talk and man up and be strong.
Amen.
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 We got some man stuff to discuss.
Amen. The third Sunday of every month is youth at 5.
I love man stuff.
I know you do. The third Sunday of the month is for youth. If you're a man youth, you can come at 5:30 here at the church, and women youth. And then women, mark your calendars. It should already be on your calendars if you were here last year, because we said it last year. So the first Saturday in December is our women's Christmas party.
This is ridiculous.
We'll get more details on that later. So make sure you mark that. No, it's not for you. No, we're not planning our Christmas presents for you. No, we're not. It's for us women.
This is ridiculous. I heard about this Christmas party and I thought, oh, it must be that they're planning to get us men some presents. Hallelujah. Oh. She said, no, I don't think so. And then I heard that along with that, they're having some kind of shopping day.
Yes.
And so I was mad about that because I said, oh, is that for you shopping for us men? She said, no, absolutely not. You'll be the farthest thing from our mind. And then I found out that what they're doing is they're praying and believing God for all of us men to work overtime, for us to get bonuses, for us to come into extra money so that it can all go to them and they can shop
for
themselves.
Okay, no, that's not quite how the conversation went. And I got witnesses in here. The conversation went, aren't you going to ask the men to start working overtime? I said, no, that girl's got it. We're more than conquerors. We
yeah,
got this.
Exactly.
Amen.
They're already believing God for that. They happen to don't even have to ask for it. I do got to tell
them. Hold on a second. That shopping trip, women, is October 26th. Please come to me. Let me know. Send me something. Let me know that you're coming. We haven't picked a spot to go to yet, but we want to go somewhere that people want to go to, obviously. So
Amen.
Let me know where you want to go. We'll talk about it. We'll discuss, and then we'll choose from the list of what people would like to do. And then we're going to take one of those 15-passenger vans at the main house. So we're going to try to ride all in one van. If there's more than 15, I'll go see if we can grab the other one and take that as well again so we all can ride together. So let me know if you're coming. That's going to be a great time.
Amen.
And then the outreach is this Saturday.
Yes, outreach.
At noon, meet here. It's
outreach.
It's not that kind of outreach. Oh, we're going to talk to people about our Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen, amen.
About the man who rescued us. We're going to tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
And we've said this before. How many times did you say no to somebody before you came to church?
Amen.
Before you accepted Jesus into your heart? I don't know about you, but I said no. I can't even count how many times I said no.
Amen.
So if we go out there and we tell people about Jesus and they say no to us, praise the Lord. That's one more no out of the way for their yes.
One step closer to yes.
Amen. Amen. So we want to come out and we want to go out there and we want to tell people about Jesus. This is something we cannot keep to ourselves. So again, That's 12 o'clock here at the church. So come on out, meet here. We will be ending worship practice. So if we're kind of still going, y'all can meet back there or meet downstairs. But we usually wrap it up about noon. So, and pretty cool. We went out to the building today.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah.
You know, we haven't seen it. We've been on vacation for a week. And so no, we don't have our pictures or anything. And so, of course, the first thing that we do this morning is get up early.
Yes.
You know, Hawaii is 6 hours ahead of us, right?
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
What? Okay, let me tell you this. Whatever it is, I woke up at 1:30 this morning and haven't been back to sleep. Whatever it is, my time clock is off with Hawaii.
I love her time clock this morning.
So anyway,
I thought she was getting up just to be with me.
No. But we came and we saw that. You clearly can see all of the walls now.
Like, yeah, the walls.
We have the studs for all of the walls. It's so cool.
The rooms are defined. It's pretty awesome.
Progress is happening.
Yep. Don't be taking nothing, but you're welcome to go out there. I'm just kidding you. But you can
don't put the building on your car and take it home with you.
Hallelujah. But you can go out there and check it out because you can see the inside of the building now.
It's pretty
cool. You can see the
don't
be in there when the contractors are in there.
Right. Don't not during the day when they're working, but don't make sure if you take your kids with you, if you take kids, the little kids, you either carry them or you watch very carefully. It is a construction site, and so there's nails I've seen laying on the ground. And so if they're in flip flops, that thing is gonna go through I didn't throw one.
I can. No, but, you don't need to.
Yeah, so you want to be careful of that. Just pay attention to that stuff because we don't want any of the kids getting hurt. Well, you, if you wear flip-flops, be careful because there are nails out there on the floor.
Amen.
And so you'll want to watch out for that, but it's exciting.
I mean, honey, I miss you, even though I just spent vacation with you.
Then why didn't you spend any time with me on vacation?
I spent time with you.
Listen,
we just
all I know is every
witness.
Time I would walk out, hi, Phil. If he spent so much time with me, how all these people that work here and all these guests out there by the pool know his name?
You got to preach
you
that gospel, amen? Plus, I had to tell him. Did I already tell you guys what I was telling him about the city?
Yes, you said that.
Yeah, I already told you. I had to tell him, no, I can't stay here in Hawaii. I got to get back to the epicenter of Ohio, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I ain't talking about Cleveland, Columbus, or none of that. I'm talking about Kenton, Ohio, amen? You guys are stuck with this squeaky voice until the Lord takes you out of here, amen? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord, amen.
No, I don't know why people would want to live stream as opposed to coming to church. This is just me. Live streamers, I know sometimes you're sick and you can't make it, and that's why
that's
it's there.
What it's for,
absolutely.
Amen.
So please don't feel bad if you're at home and you're not feeling well and you're watching live stream. That's not what I'm talking about.
You're just live streaming.
No, I'm just talking about, like, we were on vacation and we live streamed and we watched, or we watched it later. You know, sometimes I don't think I watched the fullness of any of it, but we would live stream when we could. And man, there's nothing like being in the house and worshiping in the house with all of you.
Yeah.
There is truly no place like home.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. It was nice to go, but it's even nicer to come home to you.
Well, you know what? We had the greatest compliment because someone said, "Pastors, don't get me wrong. I missed you, but I didn't miss you."
That's awesome.
Because the Sunday service was great.
Yes.
Thursday night service was great and amazing. And I got to tell you something, that was the greatest words I could hear, because here's what I want you to know. First of all, when we leave, we believe in who's here to bring the gospel to you.
Amen.
If we didn't believe in them, they wouldn't be preaching the gospel. And I tell you what, I've listened and I heard the messages, and I'm telling you, not just this time, but as we have gone, these messages are meant to be here. So don't miss church just because I miss church. Amen.
Amen.
My goodness. I don't do it enough that you should want to start that habit anyway. Amen. But here's what I'm telling you. I was excited because I had to repent a little bit. I had to repent and say, "Lord, I got to make sure that as a pastor, I'm not being over proud because these people are throwing down with my absence. They are preaching the gospel and loving Jesus and worshiping." And I tell you what, you guys didn't lack anything from us being gone. And that's how it should be. Listen, I can't be here every day. It's just not possible. God didn't make it that way. There are other voices that you need. And whether I bring them in from outside of the church or from within this church, if you will listen, the message they have will have content in it to help you run this race. Amen? I tell you what, I like to listen in and hear some things myself. Amen? And so we're going to do two things. Number one, we're going to thank Mr. Jared for preaching that gospel. Amen. And we're going to let these children go to children's church. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we're going to thank Mr. Jason for throwing it down back there. Come on, brother. He was getting with it on Thursday night. Hallelujah. And how many of you were here, or how many of you were not able to be here for the Thursday night service? Amen. Praise God. So some of you was here, but some of you weren't. So what I believe the Lord told me to do is the Thursday night service on tithe and offering was very profound. So I am just going to go ahead and just get me a portion of that while I get to sit here and be a part of learning myself. Amen. So Mr. Chad Smith, please come and let us have a tithe and offering message.
Amen. Amen. I got to repent a little bit because just repent, not a little bit or a lot, but just this did this first service, and you know, I got the feeling that this is a little long and involved, so I threw a Chad edit onto it, and probably not the best decision I've ever made. you know, pastor's message is about honor is due, and that's not very honorable. You know, if the Lord has something for you to speak, you need to speak it how he gives it. And I did it with gum in my mouth. That's the first rule of public speaking, spit your gum out. But this is not public speaking, right? How much more is this? So I am corrected. I'm going to read Malachi 3, 10 and 11. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, so I know we hear that a lot, but I actually got to see this in action two Sundays ago, which was incredible. So Liam and I left church early two Sundays ago and went to a dinosaur exhibit in Lima, and that was amazing. It was a good time. But on the way over, I just had this little flash, an image in my mind of stopping by a buddy's house, a friend of mine who I'm close to, close like a brother. He goes to a different church, and but anyways, and I thought, that's silly. I don't go places unannounced to somebody's personal residence. I just don't do it. So blew it off. We go to Lima, spend time with the dinosaurs, and get some lunch and let them run around a little bit. And on the way back home, now I feel it pressed upon me from the Lord. Stop by his house. And I was like, yeah, Lord, I'm not going to stop by there unannounced. So I'm telling God what I'm not going to do. right? Yeah. As we get a little close to where I would normally turn off, I actually visualize going home. I actually visualize passing the road, going home. And I think, you know, it's early in the afternoon yet. There's some time left to spend time with the family, do this, that, or the other, and I actually got sick to my stomach at the thought of it. And then the Lord arrested me and said, go to his house. So I did. I turned right, and I go to his house, and I'm pulling down his road, and he's in the middle of the road with an extension cord, so I'm thinking, okay, he must be into something that maybe he shouldn't be into. So I pull up. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing? Just you and Liam? I said, yeah, we're just swinging by. I said, what do you got going on? He's like, oh, I'm getting ready to get on this roof. And it was an old roof. It needed a complete tear off. And my buddy, he's stubborn, and God gave him that for a purpose, and it does serve him well, but not in this. He should not have been up there. So I said, okay, is your wife home? She happened to be home, so I gave Liam to her, and I said, I'm going to tear that roof off for you. So did a complete tear off, and it took 3 days, but got the entire roof done. Torn off, rebuilt, 100%. And when I first stepped on the roof, my foot went through, so it was precarious. It was not an easy job. And I haven't been on a roof for 25 years. That was one of my first jobs out of the military in 1994. The Lord quickened me that day, to remember, be able to do it correctly and safely. So thank him for that. But my friend, who is a tither, asked for prayer that morning in church. And he said, I've got this job to do. I need to get on my roof and get that done. Would you please remember me in prayer today for my safety? So being a part of that scripture, being a part of that rebuke of the devourer was incredible, and I am extremely honored and blessed to have been able to experience that. Amen. So with that, we'll pray over the tithes and offerings. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be a part of this tithing covenant, Father. And as we give today, Father, I just ask that you would bless those things, bless those people, and be expedient, Father, in your time for those things that people are believing for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our life for the Lord. Amen. He lived his life for us, 100% fully man, but 100% fully God. And I want you to know something. Nothing else was good enough to redeem us from the curse of the law of sin, death, hell, and the grave than the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're just thankful for it. Father, we just give you praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hold on. Hold on. Hallelujah. Hold on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone wants to make sure they get their offering in the bucket. Praise the Lord. We never want to stop people from their right. You know what I love about this church is oftentimes I forgive. I'll be all fired up and I'll get right into preaching the word and I'll get to the end and I have totally forgot about offering. And I thank God that I get the white flags of surrender out here. Hey, Pastor, you're trying to steal our blessing. You're trying to steal our right to get our tithe and offering in and get God's goodness on our life. And we never want to do those things. But I tell you what, you would think that a guy who's trying to help you guys build a brand new church around here would be all worried about those things. But I got to tell you something. God is our covenant. Amen. And I tell you what, when it comes to tithing and offering and when it comes to building the church and doing those things, listen, no man can do that. Those things are in God's hands. And when the Lord establishes something, I tell you what, love it or like it or not, when God establishes something, it's going to come to pass because that's just how it is with him. Amen? And so I'm very honored to be with you this morning. And I got to tell you something. I got to tell you that I think I'm going to have to get this suit cleaned every week because I do preach hard and I do sweat. But this is the only tailor-made suit I have. And I'm just going to have Chad verify this. What does that suit say? What does that say?
It says, exclusively custom-made for Philip C. Walker.
Whoa, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. I usually only get this suit out, and I wear it about 3-4 times a year for you guys, and I usually wear it, in all honesty, when I have to go into big meetings and where sometimes, I know you don't believe it, but your pastor has to meet kings, and sometimes I meet these official big guys, and I'll wear my little tailor-made suit around them. But this month, I'm going to wear it every Sunday in honor of you and God. You know, I'm preaching a series called Give Honor Where Honor Is Due. And I'm preaching on this series called Honor Is Due. And I'm going to preach this from the dynamic of who God is, but I'm also preaching it for you guys because here's what I want you to know. Every one of you are worthy for me to wear this suit as though I was meeting with the President of the United States. Come on, come on. Come on, Amber, listen. I wear this suit just in your honor of giving your life to the Lord. Jen, I'll wear this suit in your honor just because you gave your life to the Lord. Do you know that the kingdom of God stops every production in heaven when a believer gets saved? Do you know that?
Yes.
That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Brother May, I'm not making that up, does it? It says that the angels and God rejoice in heaven when we give our life to the Lord. Amen? See, here's what I want you to understand. Why would God in heaven rejoice over your salvation? Because you are part of God's guarantee that the world is safe, that the gospel will be preached, and that other children will come to the Lord. When you get saved, that's what he sees. And I tell you what, sometimes we devalue ourselves so much that we don't ever live our life to even see 20% of what God has for us. And I got to tell you something, that we're going to learn that the other thing about honor being due is that it is time for us to put the mega honor back on God. Listen, I'm telling you that when it comes to our God, the Bible says that there is none other. God himself says that, listen, I am who I am. Woo! And let me tell you something. The Lord says about his covenant over your life. The God says about your salvation, your destiny, and your future. That when he could find nothing else to swear by, he swore by himself and committed himself to teach you the value of who you are. Listen, he sent down his son who was the perfect sacrifice. Because I tell you what, lambs and goats aren't good enough. Something left over wasn't good enough, Brother May. For to save you, God said, the only thing that will do is I will send my son in his absolute perfection of righteousness, of never sinned, never having done wrong. That's the only thing valuable enough to save you from death, hell, and the grave. And if that's the only thing valuable enough to save you, then what in the world is your value that the enemy has tried to keep you from understanding your whole life in hopes that you would never fulfill your destiny? Isn't it interesting that most of us, at some point in our life, our biggest battle has been that we're worthless? Our biggest battle has been, well, I bet God can't save me. God can't fix me. If God's real, he don't care about me. My life has been trash anyhow. Look, I ain't never done nothing, ain't never going to amount to nothing. People have told me that I'm worthless, and it must be true. Everything that you've ever heard about yourself that's negative is a lie from the pit of hell and has never been spoken over you by your Father in heaven. Oh, come on. The Bible says that God is not a man that he could lie. And in Jeremiah 29:11, does he say that he's spoken anything bad about us? Oh, no. Girl, you know what the Lord says? He says, listen, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Good thoughts and not of evil to bring you to an expected hope in a future. Amen? The Lord says that I have spoken so many words over you, more than the sands of the sea. Woo! Not just the sea, In fact, I had to repent of that. Years ago, I used to say that all the time. Oh, God has spoken more words over you than the sand that's by the sea. And I'd walk the shore and say, hallelujah, this is a lot of sand talk. But the truth is, God says, no, I've spoken more words over you than the sand. That means that we could look at the sand in the desert. We can look at the sand on not just the seashore, but the lake shore, the riverbank shore. And I tell you what, everything in between. We could look at where they just got sand piled up to make cement, he-ment, and anything else they want to make. I tell you what, we can look at, I was walking on the land and I almost went over and kicked over a little boy's sandcastle. I didn't. But I almost kicked over his sandcastle because I wanted to let him know, oh boy, those represent the words that belong to me. But I didn't mess with him. But I'm just telling you, I had that thought out there in Hawaii. But I want to talk to you about the fact that it is time for us to give honor. It is time for us to give honor where honor is due. And during this series, I want you to understand something. I'm going to teach you about the first five priorities of the life of humanity. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. We're going to talk from a Christian perspective, but I want you to know something, that we are talking from God's perspective for humanity. Listen, I want you to know something. This Bible was not just written for everybody who calls themselves a Christian. I want you to know that this Bible was written for all of mankind, because there's not a person breathing and living that God does not have a plan and a destiny for. And I want you to understand something, that if every person on the face of the earth was saved, we wouldn't have crime, we wouldn't have all the death, we would have healing, life, blessing, and we would be flourishing right now. We also wouldn't be here, because that much glory would have already caused Jesus to come back. And we'd already be up in heaven. But I want you to understand something. Hear me and hear me well. This Bible is not a question. It's not something you get to state your opinion on. I tell you what, there's not a lot of options out there and a bunch of mysteries that we won't discover until after death. No. I want you to know something. God has made it clear that there is one way into heaven, and that's through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has also made it clear that this Bible was not written just for a moment. This Bible was written for all eternity. Remember, the Lord says that heaven and earth may fade away, but my word will always remain. Oh, see, this is why we got to bring honor to God. Because in this arrogant society in which we live in, there's lots of people, even within the church, that act like they have a right to have their own thought and their own viewpoint and their own relationship with God. I tell you what, my nose is almost hurting with the amount of prideful attitudes that I've heard people say, well, me and God got our own thing going on. Really? I think you got your own thing going on, and God's not a part of it. That's why your life is a mess. Oh, you just don't understand. I don't like organized church anymore. Yeah, because you got hurt and offended because you're full of pride. No, that church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Well, that's why you ought to go ahead and get saved, Mr. Almighty, and you can just teach us how to do it. And then we'll have an example of a man that's not a hypocrite, and we can follow you. Don't be giving me your lame excuses. Listen, I love you, but I'm just going to tell you point blank how it is. People are disappointed. People are hurt. People are broken because they think that they can get in a relationship with God and they get to state their own opinion and they get to do things their way, and God's going to adhere and bend to how they want to do something. And I got to tell you something. I don't think so, Joe. Well, your name might not be Joe, but just act like I'm talking to you. Because I'm going to tell you right now that when you come to the kingdom of God, the first thing you understand, Brother May, is that he was always right. We were always wrong, right? Half of you, I want you to know something out there, right? I love it, because I just said he was always right. We was always wrong. And he said, still is. Amen, amen. Because here's what the truth is. If we knew anything about life, we wouldn't have been the messed up flop when God saved us. If man could have discovered how to live life on his own, there'd be half the history of mankind that we wouldn't have to discuss because it would have never existed. I'm telling you right now that the problem mankind has, Chad, and the only problem they've ever had, is that they thought that they were something without God. I will tell you that the Bible says of your Father in heaven that it is the will of God for every person on the face of the earth to be saved. If it was the will of God for every man and woman on the face of this earth to be saved, children included, I want you to understand something. That God is trying to let you know that humanity cannot live on their own. Humanity should have never been out here on their own, and the only reason humanity's got problems today is because there's a whole bunch of arrogant people trying to do things their own way instead of God's way. And I love you, but your opinion doesn't count. It ain't worth a hill of beans in China. It ain't even worth a hill of beans here in America. Certainly ain't worth a hill of beans out in no man's land, and it ain't worth a hill of beans out in the universe. Amen. I love you, but if your opinion is different than God's word, it's just a failed one. Now, we're going to talk some scripture, and I want you to hold that thought I just showed you, because we're going to have to get back on that thing in just a minute. We're going to go to the book of Romans, and we're going to read in Romans chapter 13, and it's going to say, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." I want you to understand something, that if you do not agree with the Bible, if you don't like what it says, if you just want to pick out your own little personal parts and not accept the whole written word, then I want you to understand something. You are in direct rebellion to the very God who created the universe and who created you. I want you to understand something, that in today's world, there's a whole lot of progression going on, and there's a whole lot of people that want to make allowances for this and allowances for this. And listen, I love science. I love biology. I love medical discovery. I love all of the things that God has released for man, because witty inventions and great things only come to people because God releases it. But I want you to understand something. No psychologist, hallelujah, no Dr. Phil or Dr. Hill or none of this other stuff has any right to change the ordination of what God has put in place. I want you to care. I want you to understand something. I don't care how much money they have behind their name, and I don't care about their years of education. Any time that a man or a woman or a child starts to try to take something beyond what the Bible says, they are in absolute error, and you better repent for listening to them, and I pray that they repent. So in other words, I got to tell you something, Mr. Chad Smith, and I hope this doesn't hurt your feelings too bad or make you mad, but in this church, there shall never be a same-sex marriage done. Why? Because I don't care about people's feelings? Absolutely not. That's not why. Why? Because I don't think people can be confused? You better believe that I know people can be confused. Jen, can you believe that one day I actually thought about killing myself? What in the world kind of crazy stupidity is that? I mean, here I am, uniquely, wonderfully made. 5'4", a little heavy than normal, squeaky voice, all squeaky, 5'4", squeaky voice of me, and I thought about not being here one day? Well, that's absolute craziness. Who in the world could be a foolish thing like me that could confound the wise when it comes to the things of God? But one day, I actually was so depressed, so discouraged, that I thought, well, maybe my life doesn't matter. Maybe, you know, maybe I could just pull over in front of this semi, or maybe, you know, the next time I get in a fight, someone will just shoot me, and it'll all be over. Dumb thinking. Jeannie, you know that was the plan of the devil. I mean, who else would be a good-looking husband to Miss Regina? Who else would get her so happy and upset all at the same time? Who else would run that poor woman crazy? Yeah, that would be impossible. I mean, my goodness, I couldn't leave my post early. Regina needs me. And whether you like it or not, you need this squeaky little voice just a-barking in your ears as much as you can have it. Amen? And I tell you what, you're stuck with it until the Lord comes back. Amen? Or until I go home. But I'm going to tell you, go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Every one of you are so unique that if you didn't exist, your expression of God would never exist. Scott, whether she likes it or not, praise the Lord. You can just look over that sweetie pie and say, hey, you need me. God created me to be alongside of you, girl. And whether I do it right or do it wrong, you're stuck. And you just be happy being stuck with me because God says that I'm the best option you got. With me and Jesus, you can't do better. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and tell her all about herself, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. But what I want to talk to you guys about today is, in all honesty, it is time for us to give honor to what's really due honor. I want you to know something, that in this world in which we live, society has so belittled humanity that we almost act like dogs and cats are as important as people. I love dogs and cats, but they wouldn't be nothing but poop sniffers and rat chasers unless there was people who loved them. So if God's creation of children were not available on the earth, we wouldn't even have a category for cats and dogs as pets. Amen? So let's not ever forget that we can never devalue people down to think that they are like any other animal. Amen? And I want you to understand something, that when we talk about honor that is due, one thing we're going to honor is the word of God over me and you. Listen, I don't care if in today's progressive world they sit there and tell you about domestic partnerships and that can be between a man and a woman or three men and three women or this, that, and the other. Listen, I want you to know all that trash needs to go down the trash with society, and you need to stand for the fact that God said in his word that, I'll tell you what works, a husband and a wife. A husband and a wife. Doesn't mean that every husband and wife will have children, but it does mean this, that you can't even have the potential of a God-given right relationship until it is the husband and the wife. And I don't mean a woman trying to pretend like she's the husband in a relationship. I mean that one has got to have the equipment that is male, and one has got to have the equipment that's female. Amen? And it's not equipment given to you by surgery. It's equipment given to you by God. Hallelujah. Now, I do want you to know that in a world of imperfection, do I recognize that sometimes a person can be born with some crossed up genes? Do I recognize that sometimes a person could be born and not have all the parts correct? Well, you better believe it, but do I not realize that someone can be born blind? And did not the Lord say, who sinned, this man or his parents? And the Lord said, neither, but that the glory of God could be magnified in that person's life. Listen to me. I don't care, Chad, if someone struggles with their gender. I don't care if they struggle with their identity. I don't care if they're dumb enough like me to believe that I should have been killing myself. Are you kidding me? Then I realize that I'm the priceless, perfect goodness of God himself. I'm unique, and so are you. And let me tell you something. You are so unique that no amount of money or even sacrifice could be paid for your soul, could it, Brother Matt? It had to be a perfect manifestation of a God through Jesus who came and did the work that a man needed to do for us to have a right to have a relationship with God. Nothing else could do it, could it? $1 trillion, $1 billion, listen to me, no amount of money is valued the same as your soul. No amount of war is valued the same as your soul. I got to tell you something, that you are a unique, powerful being, and you need to understand that honor is due you if you are a saved Christian and you are doing your best to live for God. Amen? Hallelujah. But here today, we're going to just talk about God for just a few minutes, because this Bible says that all the law and the only power and authority that exists is that which God has ordained. And so I want you to know something, that if this Bible was written today, the Lord would not take in account what the progressives are saying. If this Bible was written today, the Lord would not take in account that in today's world, people want to drink, cuss, almost commit murder, and still go to heaven. I'm telling you that in today's world, if the Lord was writing this Bible, the Bible says that the Lord would not change one jot, one tittle of this word. I will tell you that if we could have lived as humanity up till now, which would have been impossible, because there could not be a living human breathing being without God ordained breath in them. But if it was possible that the Bible was not written, and if God was going to write it today, I want you to know something, that the Lord God himself would not change one jot, one tittle, one scripture. He would not change anything that's in the Word of God. Now, we have all kinds of theologians today that want to take certain parts of the Bible out. I'm going to skip Genesis through whatever. I'm going to skip this, or I don't like this, I don't like this. Well, quite frankly, I love you, but you don't have the theological breath in you to even be reverently close to thinking you could change something in the Word of God. Amen? I tell you what, you better take all your education, you better take your years of prayers, and you just need to repent right now and go humble yourself and pray for your soul to be saved. Because I tell you what, I could not even think about taking a letter out of the Word of God, let alone taking a scripture out of the Word of God. And I tell you something, I love every one of you, but you better understand something, that Jesus said that once you're saved, if you're really going to believe on me, he said, the most critical thing you must do now is continue in my word and let that word over time make you free. In other words, listen, when we get saved, we still have mindsets that need to be broken. Miss Jeannie, once I got saved, I had to come to the realization that fighting and beating people up whenever I got mad wasn't an option anymore. I had to understand that I couldn't just beat up my friends, and sometimes we'd get drunk and that's what we would do. So it wasn't just about beating up my friends when I was drunk on a Friday night. It was also about the fact that now I didn't have a right to touch my enemies. I have a right to pray for them, but I don't have a right to beat anybody up or get mad that way anymore. Do you understand me? And I want you to understand something, that we're going to learn that if it ain't in this Bible, we don't do it. And if it is in this Bible, we run to it. Listen to me, I'm not sitting here looking for a bunch of Christians that want to live as close to sin as they can and wonder if they're barely going to step a foot in heaven and that's good enough for them. I want you to live in your faith in such a way that you could never be mistaken as a non-Christian. I tell you what, you'll know. Because even the world will come up to you and see you doing certain activities and say, huh, I thought you were a Christian. And I got to tell you something. If you have heard the world say that to you, then I tell you what, it wouldn't just be the world making me check myself out. I'd want to check my own self out. You got activities going on in your life, and the world comes right up to your table, and you might have the wrong stuff in your glass, and they say, I thought you was a Christian. Hello, it might give you a clue that maybe you ain't all that in a bag of chips. I tell you what, I pray that people come up to me and say, boy, you must really be a Christian, because you know you're a little strange. I was at the Christmas party the other night, Chad, and I'm telling you, you can't drink expensive beer and alcohol. I mean, they had bourbon. They had 151 rum. And I saw you walk and say, no, I don't want none of that. You just sat over there drinking your old glass of water with lemon. You can have that any time. The boss is trying to spend money on you. All you did was eat your steak and your potato and went to work out. All the rest of us got hangovers today, and we can't even stand ourselves. We can't even stand the person we married because we can't even see straight because our mind has so much trash in it. And here you all blessed up early and looking like you didn't even go to the Christmas party. Why isn't that your testimony as a Christian? Why is your testimony so close to the world that we got to wonder if you're even saved? See, I tell you what, if we're not careful, the world and even some aspects of the so-called church, and I tell you so-called because you'll know if you're so-called by what I tell you, trying to tell me that grace is enough to cover my sins but not stop my sins. Whereas the Bible said that the apostles of old stood for the pure, unfeigned faith, and they said, let me tell you something. Should you sin now that grace has been given to you? God forbid! In other words, Christians, I'm not telling you that you're going to be perfect, but I am telling you that on a regular basis, it ought to be that you hit the mark more than you miss the mark. I want you to know that you ought to have to take time and have the still, quiet voice of the Holy Ghost share a sin to you. And it ought to get down to where it's mostly your thoughts and it's mostly your attitude and it's not your actions that have to come on the chopping block. Amen? I want you to know something, that if you are still walking around after you've been in this thing for a year or two and you're still cussing and fussing and carrying on like you were without salvation, brother, me and you have a problem. And the problem is that you better get yourself under review and you better get yourself submitted to the Word of God, and we ought to see some change coming out in your life. The Lord says in His Word that now that you are saved, Miss Jeannie, should we spring the same old fruit that we used to bring? Absolutely not. The Bible says that now that you're saved, by the help and the power of God, through Christ who strengthens us, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, we should now be able to bring fruits to the kingdom that are worthy, or that are a confirmation that you truly are saved. I tell you what, even Pastor Dosick one time, years ago, not now, but years ago, he used to be rowdy. He used to be part of the gang. He used to be a cussing, fussing little gangbanger, brother. He'll tell you that one time at work, he tried to run somebody over with a tow motor, and another time he was walking towards someone with a hammer, and I don't think he was going to try to help them remove nails out of a board. But one time he said that after he got saved, there was a Baptist guy that used to fight with him all the time and just argue and stuff. And one time after Pastor got saved, he hit himself with a hammer and he said, "Ah, praise the Lord." And the guy said, "Oh my goodness, you really did get saved." And from that day forward, he honored his salvation, quit fighting against him and quit treating him mean, because he said, "My goodness, just by your response in that situation and that moment of distress, I know that you're truly saved." See, I want you to know something, people, that if you're going to be a Christian, then you don't just talk the talk, you're going to walk the walk. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be a Christian that's going to have God's heart on fire up in heaven, it ain't going to be because you look good on Sunday and we smell like we don't know what by Monday. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be a Christian that's going to bring joy to the heart of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, you're going to be a Christian that's on fire for Him in the church. You're on fire for Him at home. You're on fire when you're by yourself. You're on fire when you're around your friends, and you're on fire when you're at work. And there's something about you that becomes so resident in God that you won't even take a step without making sure that you please your Father in heaven. See, Jesus got to the point where He said, "I don't have a thought and I don't make a move unless I know I'm in agreement with what my Father in heaven has said." See, there's a way that we need to give honor to God, whereby which we would then see His power in our life. See, the problem we got with most Christians is they want all the miracles of God, but they don't want to live holy. Yet the Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see God. And that is not just the holiness that comes upon you from the washing of the water of the Word and the washing of the salvation of Jesus. You become a holy, sanctified, saved vessel when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I want you to know something, that after that salvation comes upon you, you have a responsibility to keep your vessel clean. The Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see God. I want you to know that that scripture is not just one-dimensional. If you're going to see the miraculous of God in your life, if you're going to see prosperity, financial prosperity, if you're going to see blessing and health and all those things, I'm telling you, one thing that better be in your life is that you live as close to scriptures as you know how. Come on, brother. Listen, without holiness, there's not going to be no power. In today's world, I'd say it's pee-pee. Not pee-pee like going to the bathroom. It's pee-pee like purity equals power. Pee-pee, purity, power. Purity, power. The more I live holy, the more the power of God can be released in my life. Now, listen to me. I will tell you that God loves people. But I want you to know that the Lord even said through his scriptures, in fact, it wasn't the Lord, it was the evil spirit. Remember when the sons of Sceva, and you should study out that word because you'll know what it means. But when the sons of Sceva came, they didn't say, in the name of Jesus who I know. They said, in the name of this Jesus that Paul knows, I'm commanding you to come out. And the evil spirit looked and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And whipped them out of their clothes. Jeannie, I don't want the devil whipping you and me out of our clothes. So if we're not going to be like that, then we have to look at Jesus' example. He lived holy. And he lived in such a way that he says, the prince of this world will come for, Satan will come for me to try to take my life, but I'll lay my life down and raise it up again, because when he comes to me, he'll find nothing in me that he can touch. Amen? And I'll tell you what, of Paul the apostle, he said, listen to me, I might have been wrong and I might have lived strong against God, but when I found out that I was wrong, the first thing I did was I repented. Then I went through my season of blindness, but I received the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you what, since I've been saved, I labor more abundantly than you all. I pray more. I pursue God more. I'll preach the gospel more. And I read those scriptures more. Therefore, that's why Paul had power to be able to deal with the devil, so much so that the devil said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, and if they were here, I would run. But because it's just you, sons of Sceva, you ain't living holy, you ain't living right, you don't even know the scriptures, you don't even know what you believe. So with you, since you ain't got no power, I'm just going to whip you right out of your clothes. Most Christians live a powerless life because they're barely willing to get saved. Then when they get saved, they're barely willing to put any effort into it. And therefore, when they don't see God, they start blaming God for something that is just them. Hallelujah. I can't account for everybody else, but Miss Kim told me she had to leave early today, so she's not leaving because she's mad. But as much as I love her, even if she was leaving mad, I couldn't change the message. See, because you guys have got to understand something. As a pastor, I'm accountable for your blood on my hand. I'm accountable to teach the whole gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole word of God, whether you like it or not. And I tell you what, that I'm going to preach the power and faith saved going to heaven stuff as much as I preach that if you don't get right, you're going to bust hell wide open stuff, because I love you and that's why I have to preach it. Amen? Listen, I'll tell you what, we're going to get into some things here, but I want you to understand that the Bible says in the Romans book of chapter 13, and you know, I love this scripture being in Romans chapter 13, because, you know, that's the same chapter that has Romans chapter 8. We all love that. Oh, who can separate us from the love of God? And then it has Romans chapter 5, which is so encouraging. Oh, that once you receive salvation, you gain strength. Hallelujah. It's encouraging. And if Miss Regina was still sitting right here in front of me, I would tell you that I love Romans chapter 13 because it says marriage is honorable amongst all people. Amen. Hallelujah. So Miss Regina, woo, I thank God that the scripture says that marriage is honorable among all people. Hallelujah. And you are stuck with me forever, girl. But I want you to understand something, that this same scripture says to us that if we resist God, we reap up damnation on ourselves. And then it even goes so far as in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, to say this to us. Romans 13, verse 7. Render, in other words, give, submit yourself. Make sure that you open up your heart. Render therefore to all what is due. Tribute to whom tribute is due. In other words, pay your taxes. The Lord even said, we must give tribute to Caesar. In other words, listen to me. I love you, Christians, but go to work, make your money, pay your tithes, and pay your taxes. Amen? Keep a good name. You don't need the IRS chasing you down. But I want you to know something that it also says here. Let's give custom to whom custom is due. In other words, listen to me. You know we ought to be respectful towards people. We ought to honor people. Listen to me. I'll tell you what. If your parents are saved and you're a rebellious little drinking cussy thing, when you go to your parents' house, shut your mouth up, leave your cigarettes in the car, leave your alcohol in the car, and honor the rules of your parents' house. Well, hallelujah. You know, kids today, I asked a young man in the earlier service, I said, do you know as a son, said, how old are you? He said, oh, I'm 13. I said, oh, yeah, you're beyond the age of accountability. I said, do you know the main scripture that you should be concerned with right now towards your mom and dad? He said, no. I said, the Bible says, honor your mother and father so you'll live long on this earth. See, kids don't even know what's their connection to the covenant because we don't even take time as parents to teach them anything. And I'll tell you what, I love you parents, but I got to go off for just a minute. Hallelujah, I love you, so I'm not trying to step on your toes, and you have a right to make your own house rules. I just pray that your house rules are a reflection of Scripture, because if they're not, you're reaping up rebellion, and you're reaping up destruction on your children, because I'll tell you what the Bible says. Don't make the pathway of your kids so easy. I tell you what, I love you right now, but I tell you what, I wonder what in the world a parent's doing when their child at 5-year-old gets to tell you where they're going to go eat and what's going to be on the menu and what they want to get. What is wrong with you? I tell you what, the only thing that boy or girl needs to know at 5 years old is get in your seatbelt, shut your mouth up, you'll go where I take you, you eat what I tell you, and if you don't like it, you'll go to bed hungry. I love you parents out there today, but I tell you what, you've let Dr. Phil and Dr. Pill and Dr. Who and listen, Dr. Seuss was a great book writer, but it don't mean that you should be letting him tell you how to give your kids green eggs and ham. I tell you what your children need. They need a little tapping on that rear end, and they need to be told to shut up, and they need to know how to honor things, and if you don't put it in them, the police will, or drugs will, or Satan will find another way to destroy your children's future. Now, I love you, but you ain't doing nothing for your kids when you don't put them to task and have them do a little responsibility. I tell you what, that boy better mow that lawn, and he better keep his lip popped in, or I'll pop it out for him. And if I want to sit out on my lawn and watch him mow that lawn at 16 years old, when I get thirsty, I can tell him to take a break, go get me a cup of lemonade. And if he don't get an attitude, I'll tell him to sit on the couch, on the porch and take a break with me and drink some lemonade with me. But I tell you what, all of you parents who think you're really doing your kids something because you don't whip them, you give them everything they want, I tell you what, you're the one setting your children up for failure, because the Bible says that your kids better learn how to honor you. I tell you what, if these kids popped off half the way they pop off today to children and to parents in my generation, they'd be walking around lipless. And we wonder why we got rebellion, why we got kids that can't get through school, and why we got kids still living at home at 20 and 30 years old because they can't wipe their tail and keep a job. It's your own fault because you got away from the Bible. Get back to the Bible. Don't spare the rod because you'll spoil the child. Raise the kid up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll be mature enough to handle their life. I love you Christians, but half the reason you got problems with your kids and we can't keep them in church as a second generation is because you never did nothing to teach them the real ways of God. Well, hallelujah. We aren't shouting right now, but we should be. Listen, I'm all right with you telling your kid on their birthday, where do you want to go eat? I did that with Philip. And he took me some places. Then he started saying, Dad, why don't you just cook? You cook a lot better than that mess I have at the restaurant. But let me tell you something. Other than his birthday, and if he achieved something on a card or something, that boy didn't tell us where to go eat. And he better eat what's on his plate. If he didn't, he could have his little belly growling all he wanted it to growl. And it didn't make me emotionally fall apart. And you couldn't get me on the Dr. Phil show or on the Dr. Heal show feeling anything at all. I tell you what, I hope that Dr. Phil is not your authority in your house. I pray that the Word of God is the authority in your house. Come on. Now, unless you're going to let me be Dr. Phil, I do have some places where I go in and they say, Dr. Phil, how are you doing today? I got some gas stations that if you went into there and said, hey, do you know Dr. Phil? They'd say, oh, yeah, he's a preacher of the gospel. But listen to me. What is wrong with us as a people and as a society when we are letting TV and psychology dictate to us the sovereign things that belong to your Lord and your Savior? I tell you what, people have replaced prayer with the internet. People have replaced interceding and supplication with Facebook, Facebook. I mean, people aren't even going to the Bible till they've been through every psychology practice, every Facebook issuance, and everything they can get on WebCom. What's that place called? Wikipedia. You know why it's called wicked? Because anybody can change it. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, you did, didn't you? You guys are looking at Wikipedia. Do you know that anybody can just go in there and put a definition in and change the meaning of a word? Are you kidding me? And that's what you're going to lift up in your household over the Bible? What is wrong with you people? Well, I think I'm getting lots of Christians live streamers. Not anybody in here, hallelujah. But I think I'm getting lots of live streamers that are starting to know why they got problems. Listen, this Word of God is the true divine Word of God. I will tell you one thing. When you start hearing people say, well, I can't believe the Bible, it contradicts themselves. Listen to this. I'll tell you what you got. You only got three kinds of people. You got people that are absolutely ignorant. Hallelujah. We love ignorant people. It means that you're just unlearned. It means that you don't know nothing. But then sometimes we have offended, manipulative people that are trying to find a reason to get themselves out of being obedient to the Word of God. And then we just have demonic people that want to twist Scripture and take it away from you so you don't ever discover your God-given identity. Amen? And I don't want to be in any of those categories. I'd like to be in the category where as a newborn believer, you just humbly submit yourself to the Word and say, God, I might not understand everything in here, but help me understand what I need to understand. And you start reading this Scripture and you start getting your life fixed. Amen. Remember, Jesus said the most important thing after your salvation is that now, if you are a true disciple, you're going to continue in my Word and my Word is going to set. No, it's not going to set you free. You're going to continue in my Word. And the practice and the use of my Word, using your faith, meditating in prayer, it's going to make you free because it's actually going to change the makeup of your mind. It's going to change the tenacity that's in your spirit. It's going to take away the spirit of fear and it's going to give you courage to have faith in who you are and who God is. And it's going to help you change the world that you live in. See, I'm going to give you some honor that you don't even know should be on your life. But let me tell you something. For your family, for your friends, for where you live geologically located, do you understand that one of the greatest resolutions God thought would be on the earth today is you and Him in a committed relationship? Pastor, what's wrong with my family? You ain't saved. What's wrong with my marriage? You ain't saved. Yes, we are saved. We go to church. Yep, that's about all you give. Little pittance on Sunday. No, listen to this. If a marriage is going to last, a marriage has got to have the Word of God in prayer, doesn't it? Mr. and Mrs. May, how long have you guys been married?
In February, 60 years.
Whoa, come on now. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
See, the first thing you got to do, sometimes guys get their facts wrong. You got to talk to the woman and she'll have the facts right. But no, what I'm saying is, did you see how much unity's in their spirit? He said 60 years. She said, oh, yeah. Now, I got a question for you. I believe you guys would have made it. But do you think you would have had the life you guys have had and been as successful and survived some of the things you had without the Word of God?
No,
One thing you're certain of is that because of God and because of prayer and because of the word, it's been a part of what's kept you guys all these years.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly right.
Exactly right.
Amen. Now listen to me, people. I'm going to tell you something right now. The best solution for every problem in your life is you and Jesus. And you learning what the word says on the subject you struggle about. Well, you know my wife is mean. Your answer is in the word. Well, you know my husband just don't listen to me. Your answer is in the word. Well, you know I thought we would be farther along by now. Your answer is in the word. I will tell you right now that the only thing humanity needs today is to push deeper into things of God, is to restore to our life the things that we used to believe in. Do you know that up into the 1960s, it was illegal to start a school that said they wanted to be a government-run school and not put scripture in it? Did you know that? Did you know that until we took prayer out of school and until we said no and until we started aborting the babies by the thousands, do you know that the very year that they took prayer out of school, violence in school tripled, suicide tripled? I'm telling you, things just went crazy. And it's all because we started pulling out the things that we need more than any. It's time for us to give honor to where honor is due. And I'm going to tell you something, that the most important relationship in the world is you, and your first most important call is to salvation and putting God in your life. The Bible says that if a man, in other words, this is mankind, if a person doesn't love themselves, they can't love anyone else. And the only way you're going to know that you should love yourself is not to avoid these scriptures, is to get yourself deep diving into these scriptures. Amen? Now, I got to tell you something. Our first priority is God. Our first priority is whatever this word says. Our first priority is doing it God's way. Amen? Listen, I want to tell you something. I don't believe in transgender, multi-gender, not because I hate people and not because I can't love them where their revelation of life is today, but it's because I know that God said he made male and female. If he said he made something in between, hallelujah, I'd jump all over it. But because God said he made male and female, listen, I know that right now every person that's born is either born male or female, and they don't need to change their organs to discover it. Say amen. Now, there might be some things we have to change, like our mindset. There might be some brokenness we have to get over. There's some abuse we've got to get out of. There's some things that have hindered people so much. Sometimes just rejection. You know, I know of a young lady that got rejected by 5 guys that she liked. Well, her 6th person she picked out to date was a female. Now, girl, I got to ask you a question. If you like dudes up until number 6, hello? So we got to deal with some stuff like that. But why in the world can't we just love people where they're at? See, we're going to have to learn how to love people through the eyes of God. Thank God, Miss Jeannie, that the first time the Lord tried to get me saved and I said no, thank God that he didn't say, well, that's it. That little Philip ain't meant for salvation. I'm not going to tell you how many times it took before it stuck. I made my initial stance at 5 years old, but I can't sit here and tell you that I kept it. I have to be honest with you and tell you there was a few times where the Lord had to reach back and let me get back on my feet. But I thank God that he did. Amen. So we're going to give honor where honor is due. We're first going to give it to God. And then we're going to give it to humanity. Because humanity is not some other kind of species. We're not pigs, dogs, cats. We're not something that doesn't know our gender and all that stuff. We are divinely, ordainedly created by God himself, Mr. Chad Smith. And I tell you what, just because of the abuses and the mistreatment of people over the years, it can't erase the fact that when you and I come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, woo, we can live strong as who he created us to be. Amen. And that's what we're going to do right here in this house. Amen. We're going to face our fears. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not going to be ashamed of our past and our humanity. Did we make bad decisions? Yes, every one of us had. But just because we made mistakes, we're not living in that identity. Listen, I heard there was a couple I met down in Kentucky not too long ago, and they'd been married 55 years. Woo! I told him, I said, well, you're close, but you're not. I said, you're not close to the maze just yet. They said, who are the maze? And I told them your story. They said, wow, that's a beautiful story. But they had been married 55 years. And they said, one of the biggest things we had to learn is that we just don't concentrate on our past. We quit looking that direction because we're not headed that direction. We're headed into the future. And I'm telling you that I'm going to be pressing into you about I don't want you looking at your past, even if it was an hour ago. Even if it was 5 minutes ago, if it was last week. Listen, we're not going to be ordained or recognized by our past. We are going to be recognized by what God does in our faith from this day going forward. Amen? Now, we're going to look back and grab our faith stories. Because remember, the Lord said, even when you cross over this Jordan, you set you up 12 stones that in the future you can tell everybody why you have faith. Woo! So we're not going to deny our testimonies, but we are also going to be washed by the blood of the Lamb and walk into our destinies. Because it's time for us to honor God and to honor who God has created us to be. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just put forth God. A word to your people, Father. Lord, that you stopped heaven to celebrate their salvation. God, what do you do when they get victories in this life? Father, all we got to do is look at Luke 10:21, and we see that Jesus said that after they casted out devils and after this 70 went out and did what they could do, Jesus said that he rejoiced in his spirit and he celebrated with his Father and said, my goodness, Father in heaven, that you have given such power to children. I tell you what, if the Lord was excited about our salvation, do you not recognize how much joy you can give the Lord for living for him, for fulfilling your purpose, and for seeing miracles and seeing goodness happen in your life? Now, Lord, I thank you that you are strengthening us even now, even right now, and even today, God. Lord, you're making us stronger today than we ever were in our yesterday. God, you're bringing us to a place of completion, God. You're bringing us to a place where you are the author, but you are also the finisher of our faith. God, we want to humble ourselves. We want to be open, and we want to make sure that we allow you to finish our course the way you desire. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap.